Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's Edible Honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of Edible Honesty, the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant. Hey, hey, my hot rockin' apple pie. Let's get down and let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew, I'm your host, and I'm ready to rock and roll, so let's cut right into it. Well, here's the facts. We are in a rapid state of culinary extinction that is so severe, we will most certainly run out of all species of edible plants on this planet, and post-haste. Ergo, our mission must be to immediately rescue all remaining 20,000 of our edible, endangered plant friends from certain extinction. Because, and this is the key, diversity amongst our edible plants is a precious resource that we have almost completely depleted. And these 20,000 species of dying edible plants could quite possibly contain the answers to some of our future problems, or even help to mitigate several challenges that the world will soon face, while simultaneously, these dying edible plants could be the key factor for improving global nutrition and truly reducing our impact on the environment by being the critical element in ensuring our future generations can adapt to climate change. Now, I know we cannot save all 20,000 overnight, but we must collect and organize and adopt a plan to rescue all of our endangered edible plant life, because the bananas your grandparents ate were definitely different than the ones that you are eating today. And the bananas your grandchildren eat will definitely be different than the ones we consume right now. Maybe it's just that old Groucho Marx line. Time flies like an arrow, and fruit flies like a banana. Therefore, today I will be discussing the political and social state of our human food supply chain, in particular, as to how it is all radically close to complete culinary extinction. I will also provide solutions as to what can be done to prevent this impending extinction. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of fruits by science, so to speak. So now, for the record, let me address this from the get-go. I am not Orson Welles. I am not a professional actor. And this is not a science fiction program broadcasting a realistic radio dramatization of a Martian invasion. Now, I will admit that what we will be discussing today might seem like science fiction to you at first. Something as far-fetched as, say, Martians taking over our planet. But I assure you that what I am about to tell you is ever so real, and discussed in any other context could only be described as either a global pandemic or a mass extinction. So, now viewed as a global pandemic or a mass extinction, I'm telling you that this planet is running out of all of its species of edible plants, and that all remaining species of plant life, edible plant life, will soon be extinct. And what that means is all the fruits, vegetables, herbs, edible flowers, seeds, sea vegetables, all species of real edible plant life will all soon be extinct, and within 30 years. Now, settle down. Order in the friggin' court before someone gets all riled up. I know you don't believe me, and I get it. It's because your local supermarket always has those romaine lettuce hearts you fancy, but just think about it this way real quick. Just close your eyes and think about how quickly all life for the 20,000 remaining species of edible plants can end. And all due to the fact that currently there are only 20,000 species of edible plants left in the world, yet just 15 account for 90% of all the food we consume on this planet. So then, what about the other 19,985 species of edible plants? What about them? Well, their fate was predetermined many decades ago by the world and government powers that be, and these other 19,985 species of edible plants were, how can I politely express this? They were just simply delisted, or forced into an early retirement, or brutally executed. It all depends on which book you read. Now, let's look at this another way. Today, there are 8.7 million species of animals left on this planet. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but 8.7 million is certainly a larger number than 20,000, and yet the world would weep for years if even just one species of animal were lost forever to extinction, and justifiably so. That is specifically why globally, whenever, wherever, a species of an animal experiences a serious population decrease or even a decrease in habitat environment, that animal could be instantly protected as an endangered species. And while we have all been busy, and rightfully so, saving and protecting and fighting for our animal friends and their rights to be free and happy and alive, we have unknowingly abandoned a great part of our own humanity, our long and extensive and invaluable edible history. Because, again, there are only 20,000 species of wild edible plants left on this planet, and almost all 20,000 meet the criteria to be forever classified as an endangered species. And it is high time that we recognize that wild animals are not the only species on this planet that face extinction and need protection. We additionally have to protect our fruit and vegetable friends. So let's save all the blue bananas, which, fun fact, taste just like ice cream. And let's rescue all the purple and black apples and the pink pineapples and the yellow strawberries. And I know these fruits seem like a Lucky Charms commercial, but they're not. They're real. So let's rescue all the wondrous edible existing species of plant life today. And in doing so, we can preserve our humanity while there is still time, and more importantly, protect our remaining edible resources, because our future, our humanity, our ecology depends on it. And here is a quick example. In 1903, seed catalogs offered to American farmers a choice of 307 varieties of sweet corn. Today, just 12. So whatever happened to the other 295 varieties of sweet corn? Am I the crazy one? Does anyone else want to know what happened to the other 295 varieties of sweet corn? You know the ones that were grown from the same seeds that our grandparents grew and their grandparents grew before them and their grandparents before them. And on it goes down the line, because these were the same seeds that were cultivated 10,000 years ago by the native peoples of Chiapas, Mexico. Well, the glory days of living the sweet corn life and living field to pot are long gone, because in reality, real corn, or the missing 295 varietals that were, say, forced into an early retirement, were all old cultivars that were grown and maintained by gardeners and farmers, particularly in isolated or ethnic communities, for multiple generations. This heirloom corn that we bespeak of was never intended by Mother Nature to be transported, you see, because heirloom corn must be eaten almost as quickly as it is picked, because real corn, once picked, its kernels instantly start converting their sugar to starch, and it must be eaten on that day, because that is the only way to achieve its sweetness. But not today, not anymore, and not on this planet, no sir, no longer, not since the 1940s. Because today, sweet corn is bred in a laboratory to dramatically delay this conversion of sugar to starch and even retain extra sweetness for an abnormally long stretch of time and survive and even thrive in shipping and storing. How delightfully unnatural. And that is how 295 seeds of real corn quickly and quietly disappear from seed catalogs and into extinction. And don't get me started on corn. I could talk about corn for weeks. So let's flip the switch. Now say, for example, that 295 species of bees all suddenly disappeared from the planet. Would you be concerned, or would you just say, who cares? They're just bees. At least we have an endless supply of honey. No, I'm 100% certain that if 295 species of bees disappeared from existence overnight, the world of science and newscasters everywhere would be losing their minds. People would be losing their minds. And yet, no one said a word when 295 varieties of sweet corn were erased and sentenced to death by selective culinary extinction. Now, toss in the mix that since the 1940s, our government has been obsessed and solely concerned with the creation of Uber food and the forced retirement of all real and heirloom seeds. You know, the seeds that were not engineered and weaponized by laboratory science in the U.S. government to withstand climate change, disease, droughts, pestilence, drug addiction, mood disorders, Mondays, all so they could create a collection of Captain America-inspired super fruits and vegetables. that are now hopped up on all kinds of things we definitely should not be putting in our bodies. But hey, look over here. Shiny thing. Everything is bigger, brighter, sweeter, crunchier than ever before, and now seemingly immortal and impervious? But really, for 1 minute, can we all think back to the Garden of Eden? Let's just think back to the apple. So, today, 10 of the 7,500 varieties of apples account for the entire world's production. And for those of us keeping score, 6,500 varieties of the 7,500 varieties of apples are already extinct. So now we're down to just 1,000. And out of those, really, only 20 are in circulation. But the fate of the apple varieties is not an uncommon tale. In truth, it is the norm. Why, in just the last century, nearly 80% of all agricultural crops grown around the world have just simply disappeared. Just like Jimmy Hoffa disappeared. And through that process of determining which apple or which tomato or which onion or which cantaloupe disappears and which remain, many future solutions and traits genetically embedded inside those now extinct varieties of apples and tomatoes and onions and cantaloupes are now, they're gone. And in reality, they could have possessed quite valuable genes for disease resistance, heat tolerance, or curing cancer, or even the coronavirus. But no longer will you have to worry about variety or even reality, because the U.S. government has a fleet of Captain America super soldier fruit and vegetables for you to enjoy. Now, by reality, I mean heirloom or born in Mother Nature, that kind of edible plant. All the world's beautiful fruits and vegetables, all the world's powerful seeds and grains, and all the world's medicinal herbs and edible flowers, and of course, all the world's life-affirming sea vegetables, or phrased another way, basically the remaining 20,000 species of edible plant life. So now, allow me to posit a question. If you can go back in time, right before the destruction of the Library of Alexandria, right before Julius Caesar accidentally burnt it down and saved all the books and the tens of thousands of years of Atlantean knowledge and other worldly power from forever disappearing from the earth in a blaze of glory that only Julius Caesar himself could cause, if you had the power to go back and save all the books and all the volumes of intergalactic knowledge, what would you do? 'Cause today, our edible library of books, or edible library of seeds, if you will, is down to just one small row of books left, and a bunch of them have been missing for a while now because a bunch of people have not returned a bunch of books in quite some time. And very soon, our entire edible library, our entire edible history, our entire human, plant, food, supply chain, it will all be gone. Or if you will, like the dinosaurs, extinct. And today, sadly, our once glorious and abundant library of edible seeds now consists of mostly tales from the crypt of the missing and extinct seeds. And we have eaten more plants into extinction than we can possibly atone for, because we have a penchant for ruthlessly draining and plaguing our plant resources. And we have brought with us, ever continuing, worldwide famine throughout the entire course of history. And yet, despite the manifest writing on the wall, we just consume. So now, close your eyes again and imagine and think about the world of culinary options rapidly dwindling one species at a time until there are no more avocados, no more potatoes, no more strawberries, no more grapes, no more honey, no more chocolate, no more coffee, no more peanuts, no more soybeans, and definitely no more bananas. Nothing. Not a single edible plant species left to eat. And there we are, standing, half naked, trapped between the intersection of humanity and complete starvation. And here we are now, barely dressed for the occasion, just waiting to die of this impending starvation, because that is how life ends during a complete culinary extinction. Now, imagine this for a moment, if you will. The entire edible, plant, human food supply chain wiped out of existence, just like the dinosaurs. Now, I guess the first question you'll probably have is, well, is this a realistic proposition? Have we ever experienced a complete culinary extinction at any time in human history before? Like, say, during the Ice Ages, for example. Well, the short answer is no. No, we have never in history have we ever wiped out the entire human food chain supply. Not even during the Ice Ages did mankind wipe out their entire food chain supply. But the better answer is, for the first time in human history, we are wiping out the entire human plant-based food supply chain, and we are close to kaput. Everything below the waist is kaput. Lilly von Stupp. How close are we? Well, let's put it like this. If I had to give it a physical address, I would say the human food supply chain is currently located somewhere around the corner of humanity and complete starvation. So now, imagine that you just ate the very last avocado on the planet. And by that I mean they don't exist anymore. And now strawberries are on the verge of culinary extinction as well. Now I know you don't believe it could happen. But again, there are only 15 crop plants that constitute and provide 90% of the world's food, energy, and intake. And three of them are screamingly obvious, with just rice, corn, and wheat accounting for 66%, dramatic pause, of the planet's intake alone. Now, throw in sugarcane, potatoes, and soybeans, and we are nearly at 75% of the human food supply chain, and we are only at 6 crops. Next, throw in tomatoes and bananas, and we are topping off at nearly 80% of the world's human food supply chain, and we're at 8 crops. Think about that for just a second. Now think about just one of these 15 crops that literally comprise 90% of all the food calories on this planet disappearing, and I mean forever, and falling victim to culinary extinction. You don't think it could happen. Well, let's just say it already did during the 1950s to the banana. And don't get me started about bananas, because I will go bananas and lecture for years on just this fruit. Anyway, an outbreak of Panama disease almost wiped out the entire commercial Gros Michel banana crop, and with it, the banana industry itself. And as the banana was literally almost wiped out of existence in the 1950s, until the banana industry found a suitable replacement for the Gros Michel in a banana that was especially resistant to the Panama disease called the Cavendish. And by the early 1960s, the banana industry came back like a phoenix as the public quickly forgot about the once beloved Gros Michel and fell in love with the Cavendish. And today, exactly like its predecessor, the Gros Michel, the Cavendish totals 99% of the bananas consumed. For perspective, there are still 1,600 varieties of bananas, but we eat one. So now, what happens when this culinary staple, the Cavendish, falls victim to a global outbreak like its predecessor, the Gros Michel? Well, to put it mildly, the banana would quickly face global extinction. And just so you know, currently, a new outbreak of Panama disease threatens the production of the Cavendish banana. So let's all hold hands and pray. Let's pray we don't tell our grandkids stories about the once glorious Cavendish banana, and how one day around the globe, all the bananas died at once, because all the bananas around the globe in production were all exactly, genetically, the same Cavendish. Once great in cereal, once delicious with a scoop of peanut butter, once perfect in a daiquiri, once to die for in a cream pie, pardon the pun. Ladies and gentlemen, say goodbye one last time to the Cavendish banana. Now, what's the solution? How do we save the banana industry and the potato industry and the corn industry and the rice industry from not repeating the same fate and bottoming out and becoming the next victim of culinary extinction? Well, to save and ensure the future of the banana industry, for example, we still have 1,600 other known varieties of bananas. So in theory, there really is a global in case of emergency button in place. Because in the banana plant alone, we still have 1,600 enormous possibilities. And we really need all of that precious genetic material of all the lost and forgotten magical superfruits and the would-be extinct, life-affirming, medicinal herbs, because we have already destroyed 90% of the world's edible plant resources. And most of that really just happened over the last 100 years as the earth shifted away from local food production and local crops. And in the process, we have nearly burnt to the ground this planet's only edible library. And once you start burning a book or two, why not burn it all down, right? So watch out. You might get what you're after. Boom, baby. Strange, but not a stranger. I'm an ordinary guy burning down the house. Plus, it only took 10,000 years to build our edible library. So, and we have almost burnt our entire edible library to the ground, the same as we did the Great Library of Alexandria. However, we still have one voluminous, epic row of books left in our edible Library of Alexandria, if you will. And we also have maybe, possibly, conceivably, thousands of other edible, exciting plant possibilities. Think of them like lost volumes and undiscovered works of greatness. And living as we do today, from ultra highly food processor to table, it probably takes a lot of imagination to conceive of discovering food in the natural environment. And yet, there it is, just hiding in plain sight. So, let's rediscover it all, and very quickly. Because if we do not act now and rescue every single one of the remaining endangered plants, then we are sorely going to miss our edible library, our once glorious edible history. So, let's all travel to the Amazon, shall we? And introduce the world to the ice cream bean. Does that sound like edible torture? Well, it shouldn't, because the ice cream bean tastes and feels just like cotton candy. And there is so much more edible pleasure to be discovered around the globe. Why, even in your own local neighborhood, thousands of years of edible history are waiting to be uncovered. And so many edible wrongs that can finally be righted, especially when perhaps 30 years from now, if we have not reversed course, then all the plant-based food we consume will at that time be 100% entirely synthetic. And you'll be listening to this while eating a bowl of the latest synthetic gruel and drinking yummy, delightful synthetic water from a synthetic straw and watching a documentary about the day all edible plant life on Earth became extinct, just like the dinosaurs. So that's it. That's a wrap on this episode of Culinary Extinction. Join me for the next episode when we discuss the global obesity crisis and try to answer the question of whether the proverbial plates have been stacked against us. My name is Andrew. I'm your host. It has been a pleasure. I hope you tune in next time for more edible honesty.